Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Well, this morning I want to continue in our theme, Reshaping Society's Culture. We're coming down to the last few passages, and it's been an exciting series. I didn't think I could get through Matthew, but we are coming to the end of it. The last few chapters of Matthew, we had skipped ahead and preached it during Easter, where the Easter story existed. So now we're at Matthew chapter 25, and this will take us towards our close this week and next week. Today's message is this: prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. And how are we going to prepare ourselves? Increase in wisdom, not in foolishness. That's how we're going to be prepared for these last days. Prepare in wisdom, not in foolishness. For the summer months of July and August, I've just been working through where I'll be taking us, and I feel in my spirit, as the Lord's directed me, I'm going to be dealing with the question of wisdom. What is wisdom? I think that's one of the things that's lacking in society today. So during the months of July and August, we're going to preach through the wisdom chapters on what is wisdom. So I want to take us back right now, just a quick little refresher, because we skipped a week or two here. And so our last message in Matthew was Matthew chapter 24, and I'm only going to read verse 1 to 4 of that passage just to remind us, because Matthew 25 is a setup from Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, 1 to 4, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" And Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately." And in the Matthew 24, as we had Reverend Gary Nettleship take us through this futuristic passage, one of the key points there was guard against distraction and deception. I want us to remember, because as we come into the Matthew 25 story, Matthew 25 is a very familiar passage. There are many stories in the Bible, the prodigal son, Jesus walking on water. There are certain stories that are very memorable. We've been learning it from Sunday school, or we've heard it preached again and again, but they are timeless because they speak to every culture, every setting, every timing of our life. And so the disciples wanted Jesus at this point to take notice of their great accomplishment and the great accomplishments of men that humans had done, men and women. And Jesus turned their attention back to a better point. He says, "You want to look at what humans have done? You better take notice of what God is doing." Sorry. Are we there? Do you know we've been very distracted looking at what everybody is doing, but we're not paying careful attention to what is going on. What is God going to do in these very strange days? That's what we need to be focused on. And so he warns his disciples, be very careful. Guard against being deceived, because deception is very subtle. And it was such a profound message that Pastor Gary preached on Matthew 24. And he reminded us, don't let anyone mislead you. Don't be misled. Don't be deceived. Don't be misled, don't be deceived. Can I just say it till you hear it? Don't be misled, don't be deceived. Deception is subtle. You may even think you're doing something right, but the enemy has twisted it. And the next thing you know, you're down a rabbit hole that God did not lead you. And then you're wondering, where is God in this? He always prompts us to know when deception is coming. And so I add to this one, again from Matthew 24, I'll just add one point in there. In the midst of don't be misled and don't be deceived, he said, don't panic. Don't panic. See, when you know who your God is, you realize all these things that are happening, they will happen. Wars and rumors of wars, these outbreaks and different things. And I see many Christians that are crumbling with the signs of the time. We don't crumble with the signs of the time. We watch it. We declare it, we look back to the word, and we prepare ourselves for what God is going to do. But foolish people easily forget. I'm not sure if they just forget or they're just ignoring Jesus' return. Do you know people don't want us to talk about Jesus' return? Because everyone wants to live the way they want to live and declare, well, this is Christianity. No. Christ followers do what Christ says. Christ followers don't do what they think or what they say. They do what the Word of God says. And many folks, the church, many in the church have stopped actively looking for Jesus' return. Many people think the second coming is a joke. And some Christians are even questioning if it's a reality. Do you know what? That's been happening from throughout history. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is still coming and he's coming soon. It's not an old tale, and technology does not replace his return. We could advance till we could do. We're pretty close to the Jetsons days, aren't we? Any of the young people know what the Jetsons are? Anyone under 30 know? Just wave to me if you guys know what the Jetsons are. Yeah, it is in your day? Okay, because it wasn't ours, right? And it was when we were looking at this cartoon, the Jetsons, and growing up. How many grew up on the Jetsons? Put those hands up. All right. And when we were watching it, we were like, it was so fictitious. It was so far away. Right now, we're so close to it. And we believe that more than we believe the word of God that he is coming soon and the signs of the times are everywhere. And so the world wants us to think that what humans are creating is what we need to focus on. I want us to focus on heaven because heaven is not negotiable. Tell somebody, heaven is not negotiable. And if heaven's not negotiable, then we need to be purposeful and vigilant in our preparation, what is required of us. Be very vigilant. Be very vigilant. And so that is Matthew chapter 24 recap. Now let me go into this very familiar story, one that we've all heard. And if you haven't and you're new to Christ, you need to know this story. It's a pivotal story in your life journey. Matthew chapter 25, I read verse 1 to 13, which reminds us, be prepared for every situation. Be prepared for every situation. Now, sometimes us pastors like to say, tell somebody. This is a tell somebody day. Tell somebody, be prepared for every situation. Too soft, too willy-wishy. If you're going to warn me to be prepared for every situation, put on your warning face and your warning voice. Now look for somebody specifically, and if there's three of you or something, then turn to another person and give them the warning face. Is that how you warn somebody? Be prepared for every situation. Come on. You're going to kill me this way. Now find somebody this morning and tell them, be prepared for every situation. That's better. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to talk about oil today. And remember, as I read this passage, oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament and still for us today. Matthew chapter 25. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish took no oil for their lamps, But the other five were wise enough to take extra oil along. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all laid down and slept. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom's coming. Come out and welcome him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy yourself some." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. The door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Sir, open the door for us." But he called back, "I don't know you. So stay awake and be prepared, because you do not know the day or the hour of my return." That is a story that Jesus shared, a story that is timeless, a story that is often preached and often repeated and even taught to the children. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, but still today. And I want us to remember the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God declares choices. The choice is foolishness or wisdom. We always make the choice. One thing about God, he does not make the choice for us. Other religions will force you, and no, they'll dictate to you what you must do. God says, "I put before you life and death, choose. I put before you wisdom and foolishness, choose. I put before you good and evil, choose." I'm like, "God, no, we're humans. Don't let us choose, because we don't choose well." How many would say, there are some times I haven't chosen well? Come on, be honest. We're just not. And sometimes we choose the right thing and then we switch. It's like being at the supermarket. Do you ever change lanes? If you ever change lanes, what happened? It's the wrong one. Jesus gave us a very natural example, one that was very understandable in the culture of his day, but it's still very understandable today. People are obsessed. He used weddings because people are obsessed with weddings, but most people are not interested in the lifelong journey of a marriage and what it takes, the wisdom choices to make the marriage work. Are you with me? Do you know an interesting thing today? This generation are more interested in the pictures of the wedding than in the covenant before God for the wedding. Have you noticed that? I'm miffed by it. It's like there's a buzz about the picture and the video, but the covenant is not even happening. That's just something to pray about. In fact, some folks have figured out their divorce plan before the wedding vows are finished. Yes? They sign the prenuptials, they divide the asset, they make a plan for the exit. But don't forget, marriage represents Christ and our relationship with him. The same way you work on your marriage, the same way we work on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 25, 10 virgins, meaning 10 people, invited to participate in this wedding. Five came with oil in their lamps, five came with nothing for the future. They brought their lamp, but they didn't think about how to refill it. Five came half prepared, devoid of what really mattered. They came as a part of the ritual, but they had no concern for the process of relationship. Five came half prepared. Five came fully prepared. And folks, a bride chooses who they know they can depend on. God chooses us to depend on us. So can I ask you this? Are you too preoccupied, too distracted, too intoxicated, too unconcerned to see that Christ is calling us to a deeper relationship in a time of trouble? Matthew 25, the representations. Let me take us through it, because I'm going somewhere with the passage that we came up to. You remember that I've preached from Matthew 1. We're now at Matthew 25. I have no choice but to preach it. Matthew 25, representation. First, it's the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Christ himself. The second part, and the next in the story, is the virgins. The virgins, they had 10, but he shows both the believers and the religious people. Christ followers, church observers, he mingled them together, and he's showing us that God calls all, but everyone gets to choose. So there were 5 wise. These were genuine, committed believers with a strong, growing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't say a strong, perfect faith. It said a strong, growing faith. Perfection is Christ. We are flesh. Flesh fails. But God has given us grace, even in our failures. So the 5 wise, genuine and committed. But then there were 5 foolish. The 5 foolish are not people outside the church. He was talking to the body. He was talking to the church. He was talking to Christians. Because see, outside, they already rejected Christ, and we are called to reach them. Inside, we live and make choices that will show them why we serve the Lord. So the 5 foolish were actually Christians who have a false profession of faith. They have a religious affinity to the church without true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Means they have ritual to the church, but not relationship with the Lord. Can I hear a, That's what I want to hear. Thank you. The lamp represents our lives. It's our hearts for God, for the kingdom of God. It's our mind for Christ. It's believers who are sharing their spiritual testimony, embracing their journey, living out their God impact before others. That is the lamp. It's the container of the Spirit of God. The oil is the provision God has given us and prepared for us. And so we get to fill our lamps with faith, with hope, with peace, with joy, with expectation, because the lamp contains the oil, and the oil is symbolic of the Spirit of God. So when there is no oil, there's no containment of the Spirit of the Lord. That's what Jesus was showing us. See, the wise believer, the wise virgins, they took extra oil and were not dependent only on what their lamps had yesterday. The destroyer of a church are the yesterdayers. The destroyer of a church, anywhere in the world, are the yesterdayers. Yesterday. Sounds like those old LP records that are stuck. Young people, that was a big thing that had a little thing. The wise, they go into the unpredictable future with additional oil, knowing that their ability to stay alert and to stay undistracted will be tested, but that God the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to them and give them wisdom in the choices they need to make in that season. The wise depend solely upon their fresh endowment from heaven. For each day they ask God, give me fresh oil, so that the fire of God's presence would keep their souls alive. Do you know something that's happening today online and in-house? There are more people saying they're Christians and they're walking about like shells, dried up and empty and angry at everyone for things that can be changed if they would just get some oil in their lamps. The foolish religious people take no oil except what is already in their lamps, what's in their lives in the past, and they expect what they had in the past to last forever. Can I ask you, what do you have in your past that has lasted forever, except maybe pain that you didn't let go? They give no thought to their spiritual future. They're relying on their old past supply. It's dried up and they didn't even notice. And they go through these intense arguments and frustrations and blame and stressors because they don't recognize the significant factor that it's their own oil that is dried up and their lamp is empty. There's no containment of the Holy Spirit and there's no refilling of His Spirit. So they make the assumption that everybody is at fault but them. Meanwhile, everyone's looking in going, where's your oil? Folks, the five wise and the five foolish. I have to thank Christy. She was able to get these quickly for me because I realized there's a generation that doesn't even know what this looks like. How many, are there any here who's never seen these, like, in real life? Just put your hands up. Put it way up. Put it up. You got to show the church. Yeah. Come, no, put them up, guys. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. It's all good. Never seen these? No, you've seen them. You older. You ain't never seen this? That slipped out. Thank you. So, it's very important that I have this here because I see all the young ones. So, young folks, when we were growing up, well, maybe not so much me, but I'm kidding. I was there. Growing up before all of these wonderful things in life, the quick switch, or the, you know, you can go now, you can wake up in the night, use your even your phone. Back then, we had these lamps, and they had oil in it. And they have this thing, this is called a wick, guys. It's called that long thing, can you see it? Zoom in, it's, see that, that's called a wick, up or down. And you had to put oil in before you went to bed at night, and then you'd keep the wick low so there'd be a little light or else you're going to hit your toe on something in the pitch dark because there was no light outside the house either. And then you put it up for higher, down for lower, right, guys? But what happened if you forgot to put oil in? It went out. And you couldn't see anything. Very important, young people. You've lost this. I think we should buy it as your graduation gifts. But when you had oil in it, that was life. Light illuminates everything. Even if the light is low, it still gave you light. And if you needed it high, you put it high, and it gave you great light. But you had to have oil in. Bible says there were 10 equally called, the whole church, all of you online. All ten came, they had oil in their lamps. That's how we start out on the journey. Five came just with what they had. Life's going to drain the oil out of you. Ramase coriando. Life stresses. All the pressures, economic status, work, haters, people who are against God, they'll drain the oil out of you. But the Bible said, five went, but they made sure, when that's done, I got some more. These five went with a presumption. It's what I got. It's who I am. It's how it is. When it's over, it's over. It's not over till He says it's over. So we keep on carrying, getting, obtaining more oil. See, when the bride invited the virgins, there was no difference between the two sets of selected. He entrusted 10 with lamps. But the split came in their mindset. The lamp represents the light of our lives. These lamps contain the word of God, the testimony of every saint. It allows us to make our salvation call real, real to us, real to others. But we're expected to have a flow throughout the journey. And every day there should be oil put in. Young people, there was somebody in the house responsible to make sure oil was always in the lamp or the lantern every night. And if you didn't put it in there, somebody tell them what would happen. What would you get? Would you get a little talking to? Oh, sweetie, we all woke up in the pitch dark because you forgot to put the oil. Now let's sit down and talk about it. How many remember that? No. Oh, no. The seat of learning would automatically know what went wrong. In fact, nobody had to speak. In fact, some of you went and got your own strap. How many know what I'm talking about? You're like, let me just get the strap so that I choose the level of what's going to happen. Because we understood the essentiality of having the oil in the lamp. And we knew we had to have a daily supply and a daily refreshing, a daily filling up. And we didn't gamble and go, it's almost at the bottom, but let's see if we make it through the night. We made sure. So can I ask you this? Do you know when your lamp, when your life is empty? It's a question today. Do you know when your life is empty? Did you notice when your spiritual life got empty? That's why Matthew 24 said, don't be deceived, don't be misled. Know the signs, be watching. Why? Because slumber has hit the church and many believers have fallen asleep. They're still in body, but they're fallen asleep in spirit. They're drowsy, intoxicated with the luxuries of life and with self-determination. They don't want anyone to tell them what's wrong. And I need to tell this whole church what's wrong today. Some of you have no oil in your lamp. Online, some of you are living like this and expecting God to give you glory. You've got to get Holy Spirit power, which is the oil that refreshes your soul so you can make it. Have I offended you if I tell you the truth, Ephesians says? People don't want to hear the truth anymore. Oh, but I pay my tithe, and I come, and I work, and I run. That's all good. That's all representation of you trying to be a godly person. But you can't make it to heaven on no oil in your lamp. Spirit of God has got to keep you going. You can't feel joy when you're empty. You can't feel peace when you're empty. That's why so much turmoil, because the peace is not external, it's internal. One author says, drowsiness is a slow, gradual stage that leads to deep sleep. The problem of drowsiness is that it does not seem very serious at first, as the person feels they can nod it off. But bit by bit, it begins to create a heaviness that seems impossible to overcome. So the person succumbs to falling asleep. And I tell you, that's the same thing that's happening to many Christians today. Many Christians today are drowsy, and they're falling asleep spiritually, and they don't realize that they're not prepared. The generations today are not impressed just with technological advancement. They're accustomed to it, but what will grab their attention if you want to prove the power of God? Get oil in your lamp and let them see the flow of the Holy Ghost. Christ followers need to be filled up with the Spirit of God. And I want to encourage us today, we got to get new oil, fresh oil. We got to get fresh oil. Unbelievers need to see every believer of Christ putting fresh oil, Holy Ghost oil in their lamps. They need to see our lamps shining brightly as we prepare for His coming, because God's fire must burn within every Christian. When you see a dry, bitter, angry Christian, it's not the church that did it to you. It's your lamp is empty. Because the church is filled with people. People who can irk people. Does anyone have anyone in their family, like close family, and they irk you? Anybody got any irkers? Yeah, right? Is anyone here, you don't have anyone in your family that irks you? Let me see your hand. Okay, you know why? You irk them. You didn't notice. That's how church is. We're all made up of individual cultures and lives and pathways and journeys and ups and downs. The problem is not the church. And it's not just that you have oil here. You got to get daily. Daily refreshing. Come help me, worship team. There's a song that says, fresh oil. They don't know it. From your throne, fresh oil from your throne. Anoint me today with fresh oil from your throne. I need your power this very hour. So anoint me today with fresh oil from your throne. See, as a preacher, there are times I'm working the message, or times I'm preparing Saturday night, and I can't feel it. And I can't get up here and just give you ritual or read a message. And it's not, the text can be great, but if fresh oil isn't flowing in me, nothing flows out there. It's been my song for years. Some of you don't know it. It's an old, old one. But young people, I'm not that old. I learned it. It says, fresh oil from your throne. Fresh oil from your throne. Anoint me today with fresh oil from your throne. I need your power this very hour. So Lord, anoint me today with fresh oil from your throne. Do you know how many times I sing this in my car coming to preach? Because I can't come and preach from this. If I preach from this, you get this. You leave angry, you leave frustrated. But when I preach from this, you may leave annoyed because you didn't like it, but it's the Holy Ghost. Lisa, see if you could pick up the words with me. Fresh oil from your throne. Fresh oil. Fresh oil from your throne. Anoint me today. With fresh oil. I need your power.
I need your power.
This very hour.
This very hour.
Lord, anoint me.
With fresh oil
from your throne. Everybody now, fresh oil from your throne. From your throne. It's a prayer.
Fresh oil from your throne.
Anoint me today.
Anoint me today.
With fresh oil from your throne.
Fresh oil from your throne.
I need your power.
I need
this very hour.
This very hour.
Anoint me today.
Anoint me today.
With fresh oil.
With fresh oil from your soul.
One more time, because somebody got to pray it.
Fresh oil from your throne.
That's my prayer.
Fresh oil from your throne.
Anoint me today.
Anoint me today.
With fresh oil.
With fresh oil from your throne.
I need your power.
I need your power.
This very hour.
This very hour.
So Lord, anoint me.
Today.
With fresh oil. Somebody needs to ask the Lord today to increase your spiritual oil. See, what causes zeal to come back in your spirit is when you move from this, then you go right into that. God, that's a Holy Ghost oil. It's not the one I poured in. It's what He pours in. When there's nothing in you, everything becomes a problem. Everyone is a problem. Everything is there. The word, you read it and there's no life in it. There's no zeal. When you come to worship, you're singing, not praising. When you go out to speak to someone, you're afraid to tell them your testimony because you're dried up inside. When you know who your God is and you know how Holy Spirit has helped you, nothing keeps you down because there's a joy in serving Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.